Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. And now we've added a new element to Bassmaster Radio, and that's our video feed that you can find at Bassmaster.com/radio or go to Bassmaster.com and click on the watch tab and then click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, the wraps are going on and the boats are getting packed and the elites are heading for the St. John's River for the AFCO Bassmaster Elite coming up in 2 weeks. This event will also debut the coverage of Bassmaster Live on Fox Sports 1 for days 3 and 4 of every event. And as always, all 4 days will be covered live at Bassmaster.com. Another change this year is that longtime tournament director Trip Weldon will no longer be with Bass as he has decided to retire. Trip has been battling cancer for several months and has a good prognosis, but is ready to spend more time on the lake, and that's just what he will do. He will join us on today's episode. This past season, Phoenix Pro Drew Benton went from thinking about AOI after a hot start to hanging on to his classic position after a few rough events. He's coming up to talk about a crazy 2020 and his hopes for 2021.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, well, if you're going to talk Phoenix Boats, how about talk to Gary Klaus? All he is the founder of Phoenix Boats. He's an Elite Series pro as well, so he's wearing those two hats. Luckily, he's got a great staff in Winchester, Tennessee, where they make the Phoenix Boats, and he joins us now. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you joining us here for a few minutes. And very, very short off season. How much time do you get to spend on, you know, talking to anglers about the great product about Phoenix Boats and talking to the folks back at the factory and then at the same time preparing to get your next season started?
Yeah, it has been a short off season, a lot shorter than normal, you know. But, you know, I've got my stuff ready to go for the most part. We'll take off here in a few days and go to Florida and get it going again.
I've got to ask you, you know, are you like the rest of the Phoenix anglers when it comes time to that? I mean, do you like each year you sell that boat and do a new one, or is it different when you're like the owner of the company? How does that work?
No, I start out with a new boat every year, about like everybody else, you know, and just, you know, move your stuff out of your old boat into your new boat and try to get it all broken in and things working right and get your, you know, electronics changed every year. So that's another big thing. And electronics is constantly changing. So that's a big part of it, too, getting everything dialed in, so to speak. And but about like everybody else.
Talk a little bit about some of the subtle differences in some of the different boats, because it's been amazing as I've talked to guys recently how many guys are still running the 20. Some like to run the 21, the Elite, the PHX, and so on. And just talk about that, because it is interesting to see how many guys are still running the 20. Like Greg Hackney, you know, it sounds like that's what he wants to run.
Yeah, I think it just depends on personal preference, how the guy fishes. You know, like Greg, for example, like, you know, he's a shallow water flipper. You know, you'll find him back in the back of a place getting around stumps and shallow water, and he likes to go fast. So, you know, the 20 probably suits him better. And then you get some other guys that they like a little bit bigger boat, you know, like our PHX, for example. The 21 PHX is probably better suited for the big water areas, a little bit better, you know. And so, like, you know, that's what I run, the 21 PHX. And I just like a lot of room, you know, and I'll sacrifice a little bit of speed, but not by much, but maybe a couple miles an hour, but you know, I'll take that just to have the extra room.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I know, of course, I run the PHX 19, and it's amazing how much room there is with that. And with the 225, to be honest with you, I get all the speed I could possibly stand, you know, with that 225 on a PHX 19.
Yeah, the PHX 19, the 225, is probably as fast as most 250 boats out there.
Right, right.
It's a good rig.
Yeah, no, I love it. There's no doubt about it. How often do you hear from the guys about, you know, their personal preference and little creature comforts? I mean, that's one of the things that you've done so well, being a professional fisherman yourself, is you know exactly what guys need and want in the boat. But how often do the guys hit you up with, you know what, I think if we did this or I think if we did that? Do you get a lot of that input?
Yeah, we get that quite a bit, and sometimes it works. Sometimes you take their idea and you put a little bit of a spin on it. But I talk to the guys, you know, most of them once every month or so at least, and we talk generally talk about boats and fishing and whatnot, but more about fishing usually. But yeah, a lot of the things that's in the boat did come from myself as an angler or other anglers.
Yeah, yeah. Phoenix founder, Gary Klaus, joining us, Elite Series Pro as well. You recently, I want to do a little technique of the week. You recently did an article for Bassmaster.com about using small crankbaits in the winter. Now, obviously, that's more of a Mid-South thing, I would think, more than something that you'll be doing, you know, when you get down to the St. John's River for the first Elite event of the year. But just talk about that a little bit and your approach to throwing these smaller crankbaits and what we should be looking for and what water temperature you're talking about, because winter is one thing in Tennessee, it's another thing in, you know, Louisiana, and it's another thing in Indiana. So just talk about you know, what drives you to doing that and what your setup is when you're throwing those small crankbaits.
Well, when I was doing that, I was primarily thinking about where I fish and have fished, you know, here in Tennessee, you know, Percy Priest, Old Hickory, and also thinking about the second Elite Series that's on the Tennessee River, Knoxville. You know, it's going to be a crankbait type, the flat side, small crankbait. And, you know, you're looking for shallow rocks and, for the most part, shallow rocks, closer to water perhaps, to figure out the color and so on. And usually on a small crankbait, it's a tighter wiggle, you know, flatter side sometimes, but a small bait with a tight wiggle is usually what you're looking for.
Yeah. And when you talk about color selection, everybody always thinks it doesn't matter what color it is right now, long as it's, Demon for us Rapala fans, but long as it's red. But talk about what will drive you to a different type of color selection in terms of water clarity and things like that.
Yeah, what water clarity's got a lot to do with it, you know, and also what they're feeding on. You know, if it's a crawfish type area, where usually if you got rocks, so that's what drives you towards the reds, because that's what color the crawfish are in the spring. Start out as a red color and they molt on into the darker colors in the summertime. But you could have a shad patterns as well too. You know, usually, even if I would have two or three colors tied on, a different array of stuff to try to figure out what works best.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your setup. What kind of rod do you like on that, and what kind of line do you like when you're throwing those crankbaits?
I'm using 12-pound fluorocarbon in either Seaguar or Sunline. Mm-hmm. Either one, really, it doesn't matter to me on that. And I've started using I've got a 7.2 Castaway, a new Castaway rod, for the cranking series that I really like. Well, it's a parabolic bend rod, and it's really forgiving. You know, if you get a little crankbait, which you really can't put as much as you would like to on a small crankbait, But if you the rod's forgiving enough that you can usually get even a big fish in on that rod. And the hooks are really key too. I started using the hook this year. It's a Yamagatsu. It's Aaron Martin signature,
right?
And it's a fine wire hook. And you when the fish gets it, he'll just load up on it. And I think it's responsible for putting a couple three big fish in the boat for me last year that I probably wouldn't have got in otherwise. But can't say enough good things about that hook, or Aaron Martin's either, for that matter.
Yeah, we all love Aaron Martin's, absolutely, and wish him the best in his battle. All right, so finally, before I let you go, this schedule, you mentioned the second event being Tennessee River out of Knoxville. Then you got Pickwick in there as well. It's got a little bit of a Tennessee River flair to it in some places. You got your Texas run in there as well. How do you feel about the way this schedule sets up?
You know, I feel pretty good about it. You know, the Pickwick was moved from the summer to the winter, or early spring at the very least. And I'd rather be in the summertime personally, but right. You know, I just like fishing hot weather better than cold weather. That's just a personal preference. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good year.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best down in Florida, and we know you get after them down there as well. And what a great team of anglers all running Phoenix Boats as well. And as always, we appreciate your support of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio as well, Gary. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Gary Klaus joining us there. He is the founder of Phoenix Boats. And when you got a guy that is an Elite Series angler that owns a boat company like this, it is just it's amazing. A lot of people will say, well, Phoenix has been around for a minute. I wonder why somebody hasn't bought them up. I don't know that somebody wouldn't necessarily want to buy him up. I just think Gary Klaus likes being one of those independent guys. He's got a little cowboy in him a little bit there, and I think that he enjoys that, and he has put together a great, great team of anglers as well. All right, speaking of Phoenix Boats, we're going to take a break. Trip Weldon joins us next. He is the outgoing, retiring tournament director of BASS, and he is up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, what a treat this is. And we've had Trip Weldon on the show before. We've had Hank Weldon on the show. We had him on about a month ago or so. But many of you know that Trip is a guy that has decided to retire. He's been battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he's kicking his butt. I mean, he is. It's kicking his butt a little bit, too. But he's kicking his butt pretty good. And he's getting through his treatments. But as he closes in on 65 years old, he's decided to go ahead and retire as tournament director. Only the third tournament director in the history of Bass, going back to Harold Sharp and Dewey Kendrick, and then, of course, the great Trip Weldon. So Trip joins us now for a few minutes. Trip, welcome in, and we usually just say, how are you? But with you, we really want to know, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, Tom, and I appreciate you having me on the show today. My voice gets a little weak in the afternoon, so due to some of the medications I take, but all in all, I can't complain. You know, I have good days, or some days better than others, but so far my treatments have gone well. Things are on schedule, so hopefully come springtime, you know, I'll be back out on the water. So the Phoenix I had and got a new one ordered, and looking forward to doing that. And, you know, 65 years old, the timing was right. I mean, I was going through the process of getting all my Medicare and all that stuff straightened away. And knowing our tournaments will start up. And right now, fatigue is my biggest factor, and I knew with our tournament starting up here in about 3 weeks, there was no way I could do tournaments. So the timing was right, prayed about it. My wife and I talked about it, and we just said, you know what? It's time to do it.
Yeah, and if you're gonna have a cancer battle, I mean, you really shouldn't do it during, you know, the worst pandemic in 100 years. I mean, I would imagine that that's kind of added to this whole thing. You're gonna have to be extremely careful, obviously, with COVID on top of everything else.
I've been extremely, extremely careful. We don't even let company come in the house. People want to bring food or whatever, and we have a bench out front. We just tell them to set it on the bench, and of course they've been real respectful. I live on Lake Jordan. We have a lot of great neighbors around, church members and good friends, and so people have been great to us, and certainly I've had a lot of cards, a lot of prayers, and I tell everybody, if you read my articles, you know, pray for somebody, because everybody you know needs some kind of prayer. Yeah. They have some kind of prayer, and we've all been touched by cancer, certainly.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly it works as well, and there have been a lot of people praying for Tripp Weldon. I remember asking your son Hank about a year and a half ago. I said, would you want to have that gig someday? Would you want to be the tournament director of the Elite someday? And he said, you know what? I don't know if I want that job, because that's a really, really tough job. You're dealing with the best anglers in the world. They're very competitive. It's a really, really tough job. Now, who knows? That could be in his future. He's dealing with it with the college and the high school guys. But just talk about that a little bit. When Dewey Kendrick tabbed you to be the guy eventually, what your thought process was having to deal with these sometimes temperamental, but often just great, great sportsmen in the professional fishing world.
Well, maybe the railroad has something to do with it. I don't know, because it's ironic that Harold Sharp was a railroad man. He quit the railroad to go to work for Ray. And then Dewey Kendrick's dad was a railroad man, Pat Kendrick. I knew him. He was one of the best fishermen on Lay Lake way before depth finders. He measured his depth by, 12-foot increments in a rope, in his anchor rope. And then I was a railroad man for 13 years. But, it's being a fisherman, we all think alike. Being a tournament director, if you have a field of 100 anglers, and you have one angler you're dealing with, you've got to think about the other 99. So most time rule infractions are inadvertent and just ignorance to the rules. But at the same time, you've got these guys are competitors. They push the limit, which you expect them to do. And sometimes you have to hold the toe to the mark. So it's an interesting job, but you try to be fair, try to be consistent, and you try to take the emotion out of it. That's one thing I learned, too, was sometimes it can get very emotional, and you might need to wait until the next day until you make your final ruling and let the emotion, the emotional part leave everything, and then you don't get into, confrontations with anglers.
Right, right. Tripp Weldon, retiring as tournament director for BASS, our guest. And, it's interesting because I've been a lifetime member since 1981, so I guess that's, 40 years, coming up on 40 years as a lifetime member of Bass. And I always got the sense that the guys always had a great deal of respect for you. They don't have to like you. They just have to respect you and what you're doing. But talk about one of the aspects. The only time I really heard guys really grumbling is when you have to make a weather decision. And there are tournaments that are, weekend wildcat deals that guys go out that they should never even be out there. And I often have said to myself, Tripp Weldon would shut this down. The best pros in the world wouldn't go out and fish on a day like this where some guys will go out and go. Just talk about having to make those decisions versus rules violations. You having to be the one to say, the wind is too high today. We're not going out.
Well, and Dewey and Harold's defense, they didn't have the technology that we have available now. So a typical day for me was when my feet hit the floor, I grab my phone and look at the weather. But there's so many, people want to have weather protocol and have a weather policy, which you really can't, because every footprint is different. You've got say, like you go to St. John's River, we canceled 2 days last year, and we had high winds, but they were against the tide. And, you know how conditions can get like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can leave, I mean, God forbid what happened on Okeechobee a couple of years ago.
Right.
When they went out of the north end of the lake, and you had north winds about, you know, I'm going to guess 15 miles an hour. It seemed pretty benign right there, but when you and they made the announcement to run the Rim Canal, and unfortunately, one angler either made a decision not to, or he just didn't hear the announcement, wasn't paying attention. And when you get on the south end of that lake, it's like the ocean. So bass boats aren't built to take some of that stuff, and you just try to make the best decision you can, and you can't look back. I mean, you make a decision based, and I've told anglers before, I will never apologize for trying to keep you safe.
Right. That's a great, great point. There's no doubt about it. Now, you're officially retired as of February 1st, but nobody's stopping you from sitting down at that computer and pounding out an article here and there. We're going to hear a little bit from you. I mean, you got great stories to tell. You know, I'm sure folks would love to hear stories blast from the past of decisions that you've had to make and so on. That would be a great series in and of itself in Bassmaster Magazine or Bass Times.
Well, I've often joked that I was going to write a tell-all book. That I've got a lot of stories that people might like to hear, but no, I think you have your run in life, and I've had my 30-year run with Bass. It's ironic you said in 1981 you joined Bass as a live member. Duke Hendrick and I first met at the 81 Classic in Montgomery. That was the first indoor weigh-in. I was a camera boat driver. And back then, they had tow vehicle drivers, and he was a tow vehicle driver. And we became friends. And then in the summer of 91, he hired me. And the first thing he did, we had no computers or anything. I walked in on the first day, and he gave me a file about 2 inches thick, which was his classic file, and said, go to the copy machine and make a picture. Take a copy of everything that's in this file. And so there we were, off and running.
Yeah, just like that. Well, look, thoughts and prayers are with you. I know you're going to beat this thing back, and you're going to be out there on Lay and on Jordan and doing the damage out there as a fisherman. And I know you're looking forward to getting that new pretty Phoenix as well. And I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. And we all of us members of the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, thank you for everything that you have done with the company over the years. Just tremendous stuff, and we wish you the best in retirement.
Well, thank you. You know, again, it's been a great run. I've enjoyed every single minute of it. You know, I've had my occasions where I have to deal with anglers, but that's just part of it. I've seen parts of this country that I normally would never have seen, you know, under just a regular 8-to-5 job, and worked with so many great people. And these anglers are amazing. I'm always amazed at their talents, and I really appreciate the time that I got to spend with them and their families.
Excellent stuff. Tripp, I appreciate you, man. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Tom, take care.
All right, thank you. It's a great Tripp Weldon. It's such a pleasure to talk to him, and so much that he did for the organization over the years, and was a outstanding tournament director in a job that is a really difficult job in many ways. He has to make the tough decision. You know, the buck stopped with him many, many times. He had to make those decisions, whether he would DQ a guy, whether a guy would be held up. He had a lot to do with changing some of the rules and regulations as to how they would handle penalties as well, and did a tremendous job with all of that. Tripp Weldon, just outstanding. It's been a pleasure to be able to talk to him. And
welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as I said, this show has got a lot of Phoenix feel to it. Folks, I did not do this intentionally. I did book Gary Klaus intentionally for the show. I did not know that Trip Weldon ran a Phoenix as well. I do, however, know that Drew Benton is one of the Phoenix pros, and he joins us. Now, part of the Drew and Drew team. You see a lot of Drew Benton and Drew Cook together. They do a lot of stuff together. But Drew Benton joins us now as we get ready to embark on the 2021 Elite Series. And, Drew, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hey, Tom, I'm great. You know, it's fastly approaching. I've been spending long hours out in the shop getting everything ready, and it's still a little cold here in South Georgia, but we're excited to get going. It's a fast turnaround, but we're ready to get rolling.
I don't want to hear about cold in South Georgia. I'm on the Tennessee-Alabama border, and it's even colder up here than it is there. And it's amazing. You know, I was over at Brandon Lester's shop the other day and was looking at his beautiful new Phoenix, and it's not wrapped yet. It's amazing how close a lot of guys are cutting it to the edge of getting everything in. Got to get your product in, got to get your boat packed, got to get things wrapped. I mean, this has been a nuts turnaround for you guys.
It really has. I was really fortunate. I had one of the early boats this year, and I was able to get it, you know, back in November. But yeah, it's kind of been really hectic with everybody. I mean, you know, normally we're done August, September time frame. We've got October, November, December to kind of relax. This year we've had basically half of November, December, and January. And, you know, you really got to take December out of the equation because you've got Christmas and New Year's, and places are shutting down for half the month, you know. And it was definitely, it snuck up on me a whole lot quicker this year. That's for sure.
Well, speaking of sneaking up on you and cutting it close, you could have been a little more comfortable getting into the Classic Cut line. I mean, you were right there. Not a good day for you, not a good tournament for you at the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest back, you know, at Lake Fork this past year. And, you know, it got a little nerve-wracking, I would imagine, for you as you were locking up your spot in the Classic.
You know, it really was. I even the whole fall swing, you know, I came into the fall portion of the season like, I don't know, fifth or sixth in the points and sitting in really good shape and really had more of a mindset to try to, you know, compete for the AOI.
Yeah.
And, you know, we go to Guntersville and almost zero the first day. And I never saw that coming and got one bite. Or actually had a couple bites, only boated one fish and really dug myself a hole. And it seemed like from that day on, with the exception of Santee Cooper, it was a decent showing, but it seemed like my second half of my season just spiraled. I mean, for a bunch of different reasons, and a lot of them are out of your control. And that's the thing about fishing. You can do everything right in your power, control all the controllables, and there's still those variables that you cannot control, and that's what makes our sport so unique.
Yeah, and when you look at the St. John's River last year, I mean, do you almost throw that out because it was totally a different type of deal? You finished 25th, you know, so you make the 40 cut, and so you make a decent check there. But it was so unusual, the way the water got blown out of so many areas, the grass is gone, and it seems like a lot of the grass is still gone there. But totally a different event for you than what we might have saw, you know, a couple of years ago. But just talk a little bit about that, about Palatka, and how different that is right now.
Oh, it absolutely is. And you mix in having to drive home and have a baby during that tournament. It was definitely a crazy event.
Now, did the baby weigh more than the biggest fish you caught in the tournament? Right, the baby did weigh more. It wasn't like I think the year before you had one that was probably bigger than the baby.
I did. I think I weighed in like an 8-pounder the year before.
Eight pounds.
Yeah, that grass. The grass down there definitely has you know, gone away, and that's really changed the dynamic of that place. You know, the first year that I was there in 16, my rookie season, it was one of the most incredible fisheries that I'd ever been on in Florida, in my opinion. You know, I've been to Okeechobee and all those places, but something about that Lake George with all the grass and the habitat for fish to spawn, it was just incredible to me. You could go just about anywhere on the lake and find big ones that year on the bed. And then when we come back the next trip, and all that was just completely gone. It's almost like it's a new body of water, and you got to practice and fish it that way. And it seems like every trip we've been down there, it's been a whole new place, and you've got to crack the code. You know, Paul Mueller won it going up north, and it's never been one up there. So it's going to be a completely new slate this year. The good news is we don't have any more babies on the way. So I'll be able to focus more on the tournament and not have to worry about booking it home to welcome a new baby. But all in all, I was really fortunate, you know, for that last year. You know, we had that first day get canceled, and my wife went in for a routine check, and at like 10 o'clock we were talking to some kids at local high school, and she called and said that she was fixing to go in to have the baby. So I hopped in the truck, drove, you know, I think it was like 5 or 6 hours back to Panama City. And, you know, she had the baby at like about 1:11 a.m.
Wow.
And that was our youngest colt. And about, I don't know, 2 o'clock that morning, she looked over at me and said,
go win some money.
Time.
Go win some money.
Yeah, so I took off, got back on the road, and actually made it. I was about 30 minutes away from the boat ramp, and Tripp called me and said, we're canceling day two, which would have been our day one. But he called me first because he said he knew that I was booking it back. And it was kind of nice because I was able to get back and rest a little bit because I had been gone and on basically no sleep. And, you know, we got some rest and got the day started on day three. So it was definitely a crazy start to the 2020 season, and you know, even crazier year. So I can't imagine it starting any more different.
Yeah, we just had Tripp on and talked about having to make those weather calls that he would make. And a lot of times the guys are upset about it. You know, they're like, oh, we can handle it and everything. So, but you, when you got that call from Tripp Weldon, you're like, yeah, this is good. I'm going right to the rack.
Yeah. You know, I actually really needed to fish day one in that deal because, you know, I don't know if you remember, but we had some nice weather leading up to that, and I had some good ones on bed that I could have caught that first day. It was kind of a deal where you had a narrow window. We had a cold front coming in, and, you know, after those two cancellation days, I could pretty much write that deal off, so I kind of had to scramble during the event. But I for sure was thankful for that second cancellation, for sure.
You know, we had Clifford Prince on last week, and he talked about what you were talking about in terms of the knowledge of the water and how different it was and where it was won, where Mueller went and won it. And he said because of his, you know, obviously he lives there, and because of his knowledge of it, he would be driving by guys, and he'd be like, no, that's not a good spot. No, that's no good over there. No, that's no good over there. And then he got in, and guys had caught him in places that he would have never thought, you know, to catch him. So you're right. It's almost like a completely different body of water.
Well, that in particular, that event, we had a crazy tide. The wind blew really, really hard. That's the reason why the days got canceled, and it blew that water out of that river. If you can imagine, places that were, you know, 2.5 foot deep and they were fish spawning were high and dry during the tournament. And it, you know, as fast as that water went out, it doesn't all rush back in and fill back in, you know, on your next calm day. It takes several days for that water to get back right. And even the fish that I did find on shell bars and stuff offshore, it threw them out of whack. So it was definitely a crazy year. Well, I mean, any time that it takes, I think it took around 13 pounds a day to win on the St. John's River, it's something crazy happened.
Yeah, well, speaking of crazy, I mean, you go to Eufaula, nice tournament there. I mean, you almost win that one. If you end up finishing third at Eufaula, you're kind of water. You were a guy, I had you on my fantasy team. You're a guy that we all felt that you would do well there. You go up north, as you say, the quote-unquote fall swing. Now, I know you like you must like the Tennessee River. Everybody likes the Tennessee River system, but you got to learn a little bit of what a lot of folks that live in this region of the country know about the fall. It can be really, really tough. You say you had the 13 pounds at Gunnersville, that put you down in the 70s. And if you had that same 13 pounds at Chick, you probably would have finished in the top 50. It was even tougher, you know, when you got to Chick. So Tennessee River, I would imagine that everybody would be just fine if there were no Tennessee River fall tournaments in the future.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, for me, I don't want to fish anywhere in the south in the fall. Yeah. You know, if we're fishing in the fall, we need to be up north where they have to eat. You know, it's a and to be honest with you, at Chickamauga, I can think back and I really didn't have a bad practice. We had some mild weather and I was catching or getting some bites on a frog, or getting a lot of bites. Really, the last day of practice, I think I had 15 or 20 bites on a frog. And the mats that I were fishing were a little bit deeper. And, you know, thinking back at how it transpired, I can almost tell you the reason why I didn't catch them. It's because so many Florida strains have been stocked into that place, and to where it's almost you're fishing for Florida bass.
That's a great
point.
On
the Tennessee River.
That's a great point.
And when that cold weather hit, they acted like Florida bass. And you'll notice that Lee Livesey, you know, he caught him on a frog, but he was fishing super, super shallow mat. And those fish really didn't have any choice but to eat that frog because there was not any water for them to fluctuate and go on the bottom or suspend. They were right there in that strike zone where that frog was coming over them. The mats that I was fishing were a little bit deeper. Those fish could suspend, get on the bottom, you know, do crazy stuff like a Florida bass does when they don't want to bite. And, you know, I really feel like that's the reason why I didn't catch them there. And, you know, I tried everything that you would do in Florida. I punched and I flipped. And I did everything that I knew to do to get on the bite, and I just couldn't make them go. It was extremely frustrating, especially because you're holding on to that rope trying to make it into the classic, and it just feels like it's slipping through your hands, you know, and you just got to scrap and claw and try to stay in the fight. But it was definitely frustrating.
Drew Benton, our guest, and just in the last 30 seconds or so, what do you think of June Classic? I mean, that's just going to be cool because it's a June Classic, right?
It is. You know, there's obviously, and, you know, just the obvious to think about it. It's going to be totally different from any other classic. It's not going to be a pre-spawn deal anymore. It's going to be for Texas, a late summer deal. It's going to be something unique that the fans haven't got to see. And I'm anxious to try it. You know, I haven't fared well in the pre-spawn classic, so you won't get any complaints out of me for the change. And the biggest thing is the fan exposure and interaction of the Bassmaster Classic. It's the biggest tournament in fishing, and if we would have had it in the spring, I don't think you get the interaction that we potentially have having it in June. So I think it was a great call.
Drew Benton has been our guest. Drew, I appreciate you so much. Good luck this season. We'll see you out there on the tour. Remember, winners come on for the Rapala Winner's Circle event here on Bassmaster Radio. So hopefully we'll be talking again this year.
Oh, I hope so.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That's Drew Benton joining us there. All right, we'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. This is a great time to join a Bass Nation club or to form one if there is not one in your area. Bass Nation anglers around the country compete on the local level and all have a chance to advance to the Elite Series and even the Bassmaster Classic. Brandon Polinek is a former nation champion who went on to win Angler of the Year. Paul Mueller is another nation alum who has now won twice on the Elite Series. For more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, just visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. You can also sign up for Raffle Up Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing with prizes for first through 20th place in each elite event and the Bassmaster Classic. Plus, one grand prize winner will receive a $15,000 Bass Pro Shops shopping spree, $5,000 cash, and a variety prize pack from Rapala, a total value of more than $20,000. In fact, a grand total of more than $90,000 in prizes are available this year. So visit BassmasterFantasy.com and register and pick your team for the opening event coming up at the St. Johns River. And while you're at it, join our Bassmaster Radio group and win tremendous prizes from Rapala, Enigma Fishing, Phoenix Boats, Missile Baits, and visit Anderson.com. Just go to the groups button and search on Bassmaster Radio. Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule. It'll be the AFCO Bassmaster Elite at the St. Johns River coming up out of Palatka, Florida, February 11th through the 14th, and then a short turnaround for the Bassmaster Elite at the Tennessee River out of Knoxville. That'll be February 25th through the 28th. The high school scene gets started with the Mossy Oaks Fishing Bassmaster High School Series at the Harris Chain, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors, and that is out of Leesburg at February 27th. The BassPro.com Bassmaster Open at the Harris Chain of Lakes is also out of Leesburg, of course, and that'll be March 4th through the 6th. The Carhartt Bassmaster College Series at Lake Norman, presented by Bass Pro Shops, is March 5th through the 6th. And then it'll be the Bassmaster Elite at Pickwick Lake, and that one comes up March 18th through the 21st. Now remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. And don't forget to check out the new YouTube channel at Tom Abraham as well. So until next time,